Lord, we have sung this morning and read and heard from your holy word about living in the light. Lord, we just pray that in these moments we may gain a greater understanding of your word that may help us in our daily living, that we may be people of the light, children of the light, that we may, if we feel that we are walking in darkness, we may come out of that. And if we know others who are in darkness, that we may shed light on their darkness, that they too may come to the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps you've seen some of these signs. No MSG, no parabens, no sulfates, no phthalates. We may not know what these things are, but if we see these no items on our product, that they don't contain these things, market research says that we're more likely to say yes and purchase the product. For example, one nutritionist writes, "Would you eat your favorite breakfast cereal if you knew that it contained butylated, oh boy, here we go, hydroxytoluene, better known as BHT? You may have seen that. A product used in jet fuel and embalming fluid." Probably not, if we were wise consumers. So if the cereal box screams no BHT, marketers have a pretty good idea that we are more likely to buy that cereal than a competitor's. Even if we've never heard of BHT and have no clue how it is used and why it might be used in that product or why it might be harmful. In fact, it can be found in some of our foods, our cosmetics, our pharmaceuticals, as well as the jet fuel and the embalming fluid. Sodium is another one of those big no-nos for today's health reasons, but it can also be used to deodorize smelly tennis shoes, de-ice highways, kill weeds, whiten teeth, clean brass, clean the bottom of our irons, and get grease out of a carpet. So sodium in and of itself is not bad, just how and how much we use of it. Some of us may have wondered from time to time what actually is in our face cream or our toothpaste or our shampoo. Perhaps we've looked at the list of unpronounceable ingredients on the jar and wondered what each of those chemicals does and whether they actually really help. If we're like most people, we probably dump, rub, spritz, drizzle, or ingest a host of stuff every day without ever knowing what's in the products that we're using. We don't know what's bad for us unless somebody tells us. And these days, marketers are doing that with increasing frequency as a way of separating their products from the rest of the pack. Savvy and health-conscious consumers appreciate it, and they are more likely to buy a product for what's not in it than what is in it. When we check out the aisles in our stores, especially the grocery stores, we notice the trend of saying no list is a way of selling products that at least seem healthier for what they don't have in them. We may not know what parabens, sulfates, or phthalates are, for example, but when their absence is stamped in large letters on the package with the no attached to them, even the uninformed consumer often will breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that they think they're safer by purchasing that product. If we're told that the muffins we're looking at are gluten-free, we might be more likely to buy it, or not. Some people only purchase products that say sugar-free, or fat-free, or you fill in the blank. It's not just the nasty chemicals that the no list tout. It's also things like aromas and scents and smells. For fragrances are occasionally a concern for allergy-sensitive people, but often the elimination of a scent requires a host of other chemicals to mask it. Marketers have taken up the cause by using the word free to describe a product as being free of scent-making agents. When it comes to selling a product to an increasingly informed public, it turns out that less may be definitely more. When we look at the verses preceding today's text that Irene read, we see that the Apostle Paul was marketing the benefits of life in Christ to the members of the Ephesian church. And his strategy was that of a skilled promoter. He begins with the yes stuff. He promotes the healthy benefits of being imitators of God and living in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Now, Christ was no scent-free savior, however, because Paul describes him as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So having told the people of Ephesus the good ingredients, Paul then stamped out the no list of things that life in Christ does not include. And these are the things that takes all these fun things away. Sexual promiscuity. He says, no impurity, no greed, no obscenities. What's left? He writes these words, but fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among the saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. These are the unfruitful works of darkness that characterize the life they lived before coming to Christ. Nasty ingredients that contributed to spiritual sickness. Now, we want to look at these things that Paul itemized in those verses prior to the text that we've heard today. First, is fornication and impurity describe a host of premarital, extramarital, and other immoral sex practices outside of marriage. The Greco-Roman world was sexually charged, and a host of sexual practices were accepted. Having a mistress was common among men, as was sex with male and female slaves, while women were forbidden from doing so. Cultic prostitution was still part of the Roman world, as was the common and regular practice of the oldest profession. Paving stones in the ruins of Ephesus itself reveal that they were sometimes used in advertising for the local brothels. Children could be sexually exploited, and babies that were the result of illicit sex or even undesired by married couples could be discarded and left to die. Our own culture accepts a host of sexual practices as well. Now they are on display every time we turn on a screen. It's difficult to avoid obscene, silly, and vulgar talk as well as the constant sexual imagery to which we are exposed. Sex and sexual talk now permeate nearly every aspect of life, from the halls of politics to the workplace water cooler to the schoolyard. Nevertheless, Paul urges the Ephesians and us to remember that such illicit practices and talk are now on the no list for the Christian life. So we go on to the next thing, is greed that Paul talks about and writes about. And that's on the no list as well. For Paul understood greed as a form of idolatry, where the worship of money and material possessions replaces worship of the God to whom all things belong and through whom every good gift is given. While sexual immorality is perhaps easier to identify as a harmful ingredient in the Christian life, greed may be less likely to be considered harmful. But imitating Christ means imitating his own generosity and honoring his wish that we share with those in need. I would suppose that each of us has one or more practices that tries to pull us away from our walk of faith. The particular temptation that we face is the one that suggests that just a little bit of this is not too bad. Even though it's on the no list, just a little bit won't hurt. And we surmise that it's not a matter of things being absolutely wrong. We believe that they are only wrong or harmful in terms of the dosage, the amount that we use. If we take too much of these no items, it could seriously ruin our spiritual health. But if we indulge in a small amount, we'll be okay. We like to rationalize our behaviors. But that's a subtle and corrupting lie. It's the lie of false advertising. It's the lie of darkness. While some physical things are lethal in large doses, but they may be beneficial in small doses, such as painkillers or sleeping aids, it doesn't work that way in our life of faith. When we compromise just a little on sexual promiscuity, when we're avarice and money hungry, when our mouths are full of potty talk, we're becoming sick. And not just sick by degrees. We are children of darkness, not children of light. Paul makes it clear that anyone who continues to practice the things on that no list will not have any inheritance in the things of Christ and of God, and will also be subject to the wrath of God. In fact, imitators of Christ should not even associate with those who are disobedient and continue to spiritually ingest these things that are harmful for their spiritual health. It's not that the followers of Christ are to retreat fully from the world. Paul's not calling us to be cloistered and just turn the world all out. But we need to live as children of light in the world, to be transformers of that world, so that we will be fruit, which is found that is good and true. Children of light should seek out only the ingredients of a life that is pleasing to the Lord, taking no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them instead to what they are, harmful ingredients that ultimately contribute to death. Now, government regulations on consumer products help us to know what's in the stuff that we buy. God is even more stringent when it comes to exposing the secret ingredients that people try to hide from God, from ourselves, and from others. When we become children of light, however, all those secret ingredients become visible and can be eliminated. It's a spiritual wake-up call that can bring us back from the brink of death and give us a new and healthier way of life. We can then walk in the world as wise consumers, understanding God's will for ultimate health and wholeness for all of God's people. Some people are phobic about chemicals in their products, and they may purchase or patronize different stores, perhaps a health food store or something that's organic that they feel is safer. They believe it's safer. The cost of the products may be higher than other stores, but this is a small price to pay for the sense of physical well-being. And often in such stores, there's a community of people who are looking out for one another and making recommendations of what's been beneficial for them. Paul lifts up life in Christ as a life that's basically a sin-free zone, or close to it. What makes the Christian life attractive, we may ask? Why would we want to buy into that? Why would we want to use this product known as the Christian life? Because an authentic and truly Christian life contains no sexual promiscuity, no impurity, no obscenities, no greed, no darkness. This kind of Christian living creates a safe zone for women, wives, and girls, for men, husbands, and boys as well. Christian living is healthy living in both a physical and a spiritual sense. This is the Christian life, and those who follow Jesus embrace this holistic and holy approach to life wholeheartedly. It's the kind of life that is free of the damaging effects of cultural additives and is naturally filled with thanksgiving for all that God has done in Christ to make us free from sin and death. It's important that we know the no's for our spiritual life, for the Christian faith, so that we may be children of light and not remain in darkness. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, when we examine our lives, we may see areas of darkness. We know that the Apostle Paul's list of no-nos is not all-inclusive. He was writing to one time in history, and those were the issues that were going on for the church at Ephesus. But Lord, we could make our own list, both collectively for our community, for our congregation, but also individually for each of us. We know that there are some things on that no list that we may still be doing or adhering to. And Lord, we just pray for insight and wisdom, that you may shine your light upon those areas of darkness in our lives, in our communities, that we may deal with that. I mean, shutting the light on it, that we may stop doing the things that we shouldn't be doing and to start doing the things that we should be doing, if there's a void there that needs to be filled. And Lord, we just pray that we may be children of light, that we may come out of the darkness. Lord, we are especially mindful as we've just passed the equinox that the days are getting longer and longer. And Lord, we just thank you for that, the bright sunlight that we have physically in our lives. But we also thank you for the sunlight through Jesus Christ that we have in our spiritual lives. We just pray, O God, that that may guide us, especially in these final days of Lent, that as we draw closer to the cross, that we may be truly faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We may be children of his light. We ask this in his name. Amen.